This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Well, we've been on this series called A Lifestyle of Worship. A Lifestyle of Worship, and if you have missed some of the sermons, you can go back and listen to it on the Hope United Podcast. It's really been great because I believe as Christians, we are designed to be worshipers. But even more so, we really focus on that aspect at Hope because we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. And so that's kind of a key point for us is having this worship lifestyle. And so today, I want to talk to you about why does your worship look funny? Look at somebody, just ask them, why does your worship look funny? Anybody ever been there? You walked into church and you saw somebody doing something. You said, what? What is that person doing? What type of dance is that? What is that like a hurt and muscle spasm? I don't know. And you look at people sometimes and you're wondering, what is that worship? And last time we talked about why do we sing songs about God? But today I'd like to take a little step further and say, well, why do we dance before the Lord? Or why do we shout? Why do we clap? Why do we do some of these things in church that cause it from the outside to look kind of funny? I don't know about you, but I grew up in church. I've seen some funny things. At least as a child, I thought it was pretty funny. And so we have these questions rolling around in our head, and sometimes we want to play it safe. Anybody ever played it safe? You want to give God a safe worship. We're just going to keep that dance right here, side to side. There's the two-step. And we give God a safe worship. We don't know who's looking, especially if we're single. We don't know if somebody, prospect, might be looking at our worship. Got to keep it safe. Safe praise, safe worship. If somebody says, hey, shout. Can't give one too loud or too soft, just right in the middle, just blend in with everybody else. Make sure it's not shrill or obnoxious, just kind of palatable shout, a safe shout. So why do we do these things in church? Because, you know, we talked about in the first part that we shouldn't do things just out of habit or tradition, but we should worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So we should feel it. We should feel that sense that, man, I want to do this. But also we should know why. Why do we do that? If we dance in church, why should we dance in church? If we sing in church, why should we sing in church? If we're shouting, why should we do that in church? So first, why do we dance? Psalm 149, 3-4 says, praise his name with dancing, accompanied with tambourine and harp, for the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. So if I can, let me give you seven reasons. This is not an exhaustive collection, but seven reasons that we dance before the Lord. Number one, dancing signals of victory has been won. I like that. I like that. We'll just start off with something strong. Dancing signifies that a victory has been won. If you look back in the Old Testament, you'll see after every victory that they won, there was some dancing. They were praising God with dancing. We see it in Exodus 15:20, after they crossed the Red Sea, they were dancing. In 1 Samuel 18:6, when David and King Saul had defeated the Philistines, they're singing and they're dancing with joy about what God has done. So we dance because it signifies that we've won a victory. And maybe if you're at a place where you haven't won a victory in a while, maybe you need to start dancing in anticipation for winning a victory in your life. Number two, why do we dance? Dancing shows how much we honor God. 1 Samuel 21:11 says, isn't he the one the people honor with dances, singing? Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And they were talking about, they were honoring David with dances. They were dancing, celebrating God and celebrating David. But how much more should we celebrate God? If you're going to dance to that secular song, you may as well dance to the song about God. Amen. If you're going to get loose, If there's any reason to get loose, we should get loose for God. Amen. You know, and sometimes there's songs that we dance to, and it's just song, and we're like, hey, this song sounds great. You know, and it's not necessarily a negative song. It's just a song about life, and we're celebrating, man, we're celebrating life. But how much more should we celebrate the creator of life with a dancing? Amen. And then number three, why do we dance before the Lord? Dancing shows freedom. Have you ever seen anybody uptight while they danced? It's impossible to dance good and be uptight. You got to get free. You got to get loose to be able to dance good. So dancing brings freedom. Dancing shows that you're free. How many know that the Bible says who the Son has set free is free indeed? So if we're free, we got to act like it sometimes. Sometimes there's a time and a place to dance before the Lord. Job 21:11 says, they let their children frisk about like lambs. Their little ones skip and dance. You know, when we dance, we become like little children before him. And we know what Jesus said in Matthew 18:3. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. So it's an important part to get rid of our inhibitions and become free before the Lord. Dancing helps with that. Dancing will help you free yourself from inhibitions and become like a little child before the Lord. Number four, fourth reason, dancing before the Lord relieves stress and anxiety. Can I tell you, there's so many people carrying worry and anxiety and stress. Let me tell you one thing you can do about that. You can get in the altar and you can dance before the Lord, and all the stress and all the anxiety and all the worry and all the stuff that's bothering you in your mind, you're going to shake some of that stuff off, at least some of it, and you're going to go out of here a little bit lighter than you came in. Amen. And let me tell you something. It's so good. It's free. You don't have to pay a counselor for that. You don't got to pay a shrink for that. You can get up here in the altar. You can get right here in the aisle, and you can dance before the King of Kings and drop some of that stress. I'm talking about a stress relieving strategy for your life. One of the many reasons we dance before the Lord. Number five, we dance before the Lord because dancing fills you with his joy. And there's something about, man, when we're dancing and we're shaking stuff off of ourselves, and God's filling us up with something else. It's his joy. And we know that joy brings strength, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. But God is filling us with his joy. Jeremiah 31:4 says, I will rebuild you. Man, somebody hear that. Somebody hear the devil's made a mess of your life. And God is saying, I will rebuild you. Jeremiah 31:4 says, I will rebuild you, my virgin Israel. Talk about his people. You will again be happy and dance merrily with your tambourines. Man, when we dance, we're inviting God to rebuild us, to restore us, to fix all the broken areas that we broke, or the devil broke, or the enemy broke, or somebody broke. You know, when you parents went away and something was happening in the house and somebody's throwing a football or something like that, and the glass table gets turned over and broken. The lamp, the something, and they come back and say, how did it get broken? I don't know. Sometimes our life, we don't know how it got broken. Maybe we don't want to admit it. But Jeremiah 31 says, I will rebuild you. I will rebuild you. And I will restore that joyful dance before me. So when we dance before the Lord, it fills us with joy. The more that we're filled with joy, the more we want to dance. Number six, why do we dance before the Lord? As worshipers, we dance as part of our identity. God created us to worship him. How many believe that? So part of our identity is a worshiper. I can be a lot of things. I can be a pastor. I can be a dad. I can be a husband. But guess what? As much as that and more, I'm a worshiper. That's the first thing that God created me to be. I am standing before him as a worshiper, as a son. And so as worshipers, it's part of our identity. 2 Samuel 6:14 says, "And David danced before the Lord." This is not a surprise, right? David danced before the Lord with all his might. We know that. That's not a surprise to anybody. But wearing a priestly garment. Can I tell you that no matter what role you're playing, no matter what hat you have on, worship the Lord. Don't be afraid to dance before the Lord. Doesn't matter your role, your position, your hat, your clothes. Worshiping is part of our identity. David was saying, you know what? As much as I've got these really nice priestly outfit on, I'm going to praise God even more because this is who I am. There's another, he's got really nice clothes on here. There's another place where he dances all his clothes off. Or his outer garments off. Because worshiping is who we are. Dancing before the Lord, that's just who we are. And I'm thinking, man, he's wearing these nice priestly garments, but it was so important to him to dance before the Lord. He wasn't worried about getting his shoes scuffed up. He wasn't worried about popping a few buttons. That was not the most important thing. The most important thing to David was to worship God with all his might. And sometimes all means dancing, right? Sometimes all means dancing. Now, number 7, why do we worship with dance? We dance as part of our struggles. I hope somebody gets this and takes this home with you. Stick it on your refrigerator. Put it in your car. We dance as part of our struggles. We dance to remind ourselves that God is bigger than what we're struggling with. Jeremiah 31:13, the young women will dance for joy, and the men, old and young, will join in the celebration. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and exchange their sorrow for rejoicing. So when we dance before the Lord, no matter what we're going through, there's an exchange that begins to be made. All of a sudden, what we're grieving about, God fills us with joy. What's broken in our life, God begins to fix. And we're making an exchange. So even though I'm struggling with some stuff, that doesn't stop my praise. Even more, I'm motivated to praise. I got a different motivation, but I don't have a lack of motivation. I'm motivated to praise because I need to make an exchange. Some Sundays I come to church and I need to make an exchange because there's some broken stuff in my life. There's some stuff I've been on my knees praying that the answers to my prayers hadn't come through yet, and I need to make some exchanges. It's all right. If you got some stuff that you don't like, go back to the mall and exchange it. You don't have to live with that ugly shirt. Ladies, you don't have to live with those ugly shoes. Take them back. We make an exchange with God in worship. When we dance before him, we're shaking some garbage off of our life, some brokenness off of our life. And God is filling us up with something new, refreshing, joyful. When we dance before the Lord, we're building a different atmosphere in the midst of whatever circumstance that we're going through. So whether I'm victorious and I'm dancing because of that, or I need to be victorious, I'm going to set an atmosphere of God's victory around me. If we want to enter into his kingdom, even while we're on this earthly dimension, we can enter into this kingdom atmosphere. One of the ways we do that is by dancing. We have to become like little children in our faith. We have to put aside what we think about ourselves and what we think others are thinking about us and just be a child before our Father. Yeah. Ever notice how kids are so uninhibited, you know? Even our kids, you know, we train them, hey, guys, we come to church, we got to worship. That's what we're here to do. We're here to honor God. We're here to help people. We're here to love on people, love on God. That's what it is. And so they come and they're just free and worshiping the Lord, ask for a stick of gum. That's not what we're doing right now. But there's no inhibition there. As a child, you're just free before the Lord. And I think too often we're concerned with what everybody else is thinking, but God. everybody else but God. That's what we're concerned with. But let me tell you, if God likes your dance, it doesn't matter what anybody else's opinion is. It doesn't matter what anybody else's opinion if God likes your dance. And I hope that that sets somebody free today. God deserves, if it's true, that the scripture is saying God deserves for us to dance before him. And if you feel like you need to dance in church, it doesn't matter what anybody else is thinking. Don't let anybody else intimidate you. If you know that God is worthy of the dance, you feel like dancing, you better go ahead and dance. You better go ahead and dance. Don't let anybody intimidate you. You go ahead and dance. Look at somebody and say, you go ahead and dance if you need to. Sometimes we intimidate ourselves out of. Why do we do some of these things in church? Why do we clap our hands? Because it's got to be more than just we're trying to, you know, keep a rhythm. And some of us do better than others. Let me give you three reasons why we clap our hands. Because I believe in the Word of God, we see that it goes beyond just something natural. Three reasons. Number one, it signifies joyful praise. If your praise is full, then you'll want to clap. If your praise is full of joy, you're going to want to clap. If your praise is not full of joy yet, start clapping. Start clapping. That's how you're going to get the joy in. And have you ever noticed that when you're somewhere and people just start to clap, it's a different atmosphere. It begins to feel better, feel more energy, more life, more refreshing. Why is this? It's because there's a spiritual principle that sometimes we're exercising and we don't even realize that we're exercising. When we clap, it signifies joyful praise. Psalm 47:1 says, come on, come everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with a joyful praise. So Psalm 47:1, let's practice it. Come on, everyone, clap your hands. Yeah. All right. Don't you feel better? Like the room feels better already. Clap your hands. The Bible tells us, clap your hands. It's not just about staying on beat. There's a reason, there's a time to clap our hands with joyful praise. Number two, it signifies justice. I bet you might not have known this. Ezekiel 21 and 22, other places in the Bible too, it speaks of clapping in relation to God judging injustice. How many are upset about injustices in the world? How many are upset about injustices in your life? When we clap, we invite God's justice into our lives. When we clap, oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. When we clap, we're inviting God's justice around us, in the world around us. I'm clapping and saying, God, bring justice to all the injustice around me. God, bring justice to the world. God, bring justice in my life. There's some people that shortchanged me. And God, I don't want to hold a grudge, but I want to clap right now because I know you can bring justice. Hallelujah. See, some of you are going to go home and you're going to clap more. Sometimes I'm walking around and I'm praying and I'm clapping. You know, Jessica, I'm clapping. I'm clapping because I'm agreeing with something that's being prayed, or I'm agreeing with myself and I'm saying, God, bring some justice to this particular situation. Number three, why do we clap? It signifies breakthrough. Anytime you ever felt that feeling like when you clap, like there's something kind of broke through, some kind of change. There's a breaking, right? There's a Hebrew word called makal, and it means to strike. To strike. So when we clap in the spirit, we're striking a blow. In the spirit dimension, we're striking a blow to the enemy. And we become closer to our breakthrough. Whether we're using clapping in worship or clapping in prayer, it signifies something breaking in the spirit around us. And when we clap, we're striking fear into the enemy. And there's this deeper understanding that we have to have as believers, because maybe you need to see this instead of when you're clapping, it's a golf clap. I don't know how many comic book people that we have here in the room, but instead of a golf clap, what you need to see, what you're really doing in the spirit, is like Hulk doing the thunder clap. Bow! And something is shaking in the supernatural around you, and something shaking in the spirit. On the outside, it might look the same, like you just made some noise, but in the spirit, there's something that's happening. It's a thunderclap. It's something that's reverberating through the atmosphere. Some breakthrough that's happening. Well, why do we do some of this stuff in church? Why do we do? Why do we shout? Is it just that the worship leader got hyped up on some caffeine and adrenaline? Come on, give me a shout. What is it? Is the pastor just trying to get everybody pumped up to make the sermon better? No. Why do we shout? One of my favorite stories in the Bible can be found in Joshua 6. And this is the first battle that Joshua had on his way to possessing his promised land. So see that Joshua and the children of Israel, they've been promised so much, they've been waiting so much, they've been desiring for this prophetic word that they've been given to happen. Anybody ever been there? You wanted that thing that God promised you to happen. You're tired of waiting, you're ready to march in and take the land. Well, this is the first kind of stop that Joshua had. Joshua 6, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites." Can I just stop right there and tell you, the devil's afraid of you. You don't have to cower in fear. Whether it looks like it or not, he's bluffing. He's bluffing. If sometimes we don't know what we're capable of as believers, and so we're not aware of what's going on, but the devil is intimidated by who you are in God. You're a child of God. You're an heir of the promise. You're seated on the right hand of God the Father with Jesus. We're seated with him in heavenly places. So it says that the gates of Jericho were tightly shut up because of the people who were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, listen, "I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, and the priest blowing the horns. And when you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horn, you're going to run and start tearing at the wall with your hands." No, that's not what, okay. It says, "When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horn, you're going to go and take your swords and shovels and kind of..." No. "When the priests give one long blast with the ram's horns, all the people shout as loud as they can." Yeah! Now listen. Listen, then it says, "Then the walls of the town will," I love this word, "collapse." I don't know what's been standing between you and your promise. We've been talking about possessing the promise, but I don't know what's been standing between you and that relationship that God promised you, or that promotion that God promised you, or that starting that business that God promised you. I don't know what barrier is there, but when we shout, walls come down. There's a reason why we shout, and it's not just to get pumped up. Come on. Come on. I'm a pastor's kid. I grew up in church, and I would always ask my dad, why do we do that? Why do we do this? And if there's anybody that's not going to do something out of rhetoric, I don't do stuff out of rhetoric. I do stuff because it's real. And let me tell you something, it's real. When you shout, there's something that happens. The enemy trembles. When you begin to shout, it changes your position from being backed into the corner to having the high ground. I don't know if you understand. There's some things that don't go away and don't come down until you shout. There's some things, there's a moment that you just need to shout. Sometimes in worship, that's what it's waiting for. So why do we shout? We shout when there's some walls that need to come down. Maybe it's in our life. Maybe it's in our family. Maybe it's in our finances. Maybe it's in our business. Walls. That's why we shout. We shout. A shout can devastate the enemy. Not an obnoxious sound. It's a spiritual weapon that you use in the right moment when God says, shout. And the devil doesn't want you to shout because it exerts authority over him and over circumstances. You see, in that moment when Joshua and the children of Israel shouted, they exercised the spiritual principle that wasn't something in the natural. You see, they opened their mouth like God did in Genesis. And they spoke to the wall. And I hope that we can understand shouting is not something to be embarrassed about or tentative about. Man, it's a weapon. At your disposal. A shout is a weapon at your disposal to use against the enemy. Hallelujah. So as I wrap this up, I want to give you 5 reasons not to be intimidated with your worship. This is how I want to bring it all down. 5 reasons not to be intimidated. Because it can be intimidating in the natural to shout. It can be intimidating sometimes, well, not that much to clap. It can be intimidating sometimes to dance. Why should we not be intimidated during worship? 5 reasons. Number 1, you're not as cool as you think you are. Come on. To really worship the Lord, we have to just loosen up. And let's face it, too often we're too serious about ourselves. We need to be serious about God, less serious about ourselves. And let me tell you something. Everybody's not looking at you. Every man, as Americans, we get so egotistical. Everybody's not looking at you. Everybody's not looking at your worship. They're concerned about what their worship looks like. And if somebody is actually looking at your worship, congratulations, you're a worship leader. Be a good worship leader. Set a good example. Be a leader, not a follower. Right? Be a leader. Number 2, why should we not be intimidated during worship? Worship is cooler than you think it is. From a heavenly perspective, worship is the best thing that ever happened. God designed us with a stamp on our back, made for worship. Worship is cool. David was a man's man. He was the baddest warrior in all the nations, in the surrounding nations. And that man knew how to worship. He made some mistakes in some other areas, but he knew how to worship. God said, this guy's got the key. He's worshiping. Real men, real women know how to worship. And let me tell you this, the more confident you are in your faith, the more confident you become in your faith, the easier it becomes to worship. The stronger I become in my faith, and we're all on a path, we're all on a journey, we're all growing. Amen. You raise your hands, say amen to that. The more that I grow in my faith in God, the easier it becomes to worship. No matter who I'm in the presence of. It becomes more easy to worship the more I grow in my relationship with God. Number 3, why should we not be intimidated during worship? Other people's opinions are way less important than God's opinion about your worship. Okay, so when you stand before God, when you, at the end, when you're standing before God, do you think God is going to ask you, was your worship cool? Was your dance moves cool? Were the people on your aisle, did they like how your dance moves looked? Or do you think he's going to ask you, were you worshiping from your heart? Were you giving me all? Were you worshiping with all your might? Was your worship a testimony to others about my goodness? I think those are the questions. Jesus told us in Luke 9:26, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Why should we not be intimidated during worship? If Jesus endured the torture of the cross, I can endure the discomfort of opinions. Every time I feel myself getting a little fearful or a little concerned about what other people are thinking, I just try to visualize Jesus hanging on the cross for me. And I say, you know what? Those opinions are not that important. I love people, but people didn't die on the cross to save my sin. People didn't die and purchase my salvation. People's opinions didn't redeem me. There's one opinion that's more important than everybody else's opinion of my worship, and that's God's. Why should we not be intimidated? Last one, number five, because he's worthy. He's worth it. He died for us. He saved us. He gave us eternal life. He's worthy of all the praise and all the worship and whatever else you got. He's worth it. He's worth it. What question does that leave us with? Can we leave some of our old ideas behind? Can we shed some of our comfort zones to experience a greater level of worship, a lifestyle of worship? Because I believe as we pursue this lifestyle, it will change the way that our worship looks, the way our worship feels, the power behind our worship. It's in that free expression of worship that we set aside who we think we are and how we think others perceive us to embrace a childlike attitude before the Lord. He is our focus. He is our worship. He is our everything. And this is our life, a lifestyle of worship. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you for each and every person that's here. God, it's not by accident. God, you designed it this way that we would come and we would hear something from you today. God, I feel like you're challenging all of us to take a step closer to you. You're challenging all of us to examine, God, our heart before you. Sometimes we're concerned about what other people's opinions are, about how we worship. But God, I thank you that you would free us of that so that we can be like little children before you. We can dance, we can sing, we can shout, we can clap, we can raise our hands, whatever. God, to give you the very best of who we are. God, and we want to go from a place of just having an experience here and having an experience there to God living a life of worship. That our very going out and coming in and going back to the house and going to work and driving in the car. God, we're honoring you with our life. We have a lifestyle of worship. So God, I thank you, Lord, that you would help us not just do worship, but to be worship. Lord, I pray that you would take us on that journey with you. Take us closer. And as heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I feel a little bit disconnected in my faith. Something that you said today or something I felt today in my heart, I know I need to make a commitment. I know I need to make a decision. I know I need to make a step closer to God. Maybe you've been far away. Maybe you just got disconnected. Or maybe you've never really had a real relationship with God. If that's you, I want to help you with that connection point today. God wants to connect with you today. that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. 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 Thank you. Amen. If you lifted your hand, I want to pray with you. You can pray this prayer right where you are. And everybody, you can join us and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me, for loving me when I was a mess. Thank you. Thank you for wiping all my sins away. Thank you for reconnecting me with the Father. Thank you for eternal life. Teach me how to walk with you. Teach me how to live a lifestyle of worship. I don't want to do it on my own. I want to do it with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.